You're listening to Boat Radio. I'm John Herlig. 3 years ago, in a boatyard in Reedville, Virginia, in the United States, I came across an old, sun-bleached boat named Ave Del Mar. I learned that long before she became mine, she had sailed around the world. She's been through the Panama and Suez canals, has cruised in the sunny Mediterranean, and has rounded the infamous Cape Horn. Now she's begun a new journey with me. This is Postcards from Sea, and this is where I share stories of the people and places I encounter as Ave Del Mar and I sail the world together. Say what you want now. Time goes forward, go and catch your jet. You will find your moment. Time goes forward, stay and have a sleep. Let's dream about the future. Pretending you're wasting your spending just one more day.
I'm ready.
All right, we're both ready. Hi, thanks for tuning in. I am in West Palm Beach, Florida again, after my sojourn up to Melbourne, and I'm sitting here tonight with Brian, my new friend Brian. Say hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
No, that's he learned everything he knows about media from Laugh-In. So at the end of this, maybe we'll let him say goodnight, Dick. And Brian is here to help me tell the story of Capricious. And Capricious is the boat that we're sitting on right now. Capricious is a 1979 Pearson 40 flush deck, which is a weird term, but just basically means it looks different on the top than most boats do.
Yep.
This is the first flush deck you've ever been on. Brian, wait, I'm going to interrupt. I'm not going to let you answer.
All right.
Brian lives now up in
St. Petersburg, Florida.
St. Petersburg, which is north of here and on the Gulf side.
Yes. About 3.5-4 hours.
Oof. And you drive that every week.
Every Monday.
Which is not the point of this podcast, but it's a lot of driving.
It's a lot of driving.
But here's a couple of exciting things about Brian and Capricious, the Pearson P40 flush deck. The lights are on.
Yes.
All right, let's see if we can hear this. That is the sound of warm beer bottles clinking, because we are both really happy that the lights are on. A, because it's dark. Or it would be if the lights weren't on, and B, because nothing on this boat has ever worked.
Yeah, I know. It has been, I've owned the boat, I'm owning the boat, and trying to figure out what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
And so far yesterday, we got lights.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty happy about that.
So, if anyone who's listening reads my blog, I wrote a piece once called Of Books, Boats, and Men, which was about my arrival in West Palm Beach. So I got here, I don't know how much of this story you know, Brian.
I
got here, oh, I'm so bad with time, early May? Yeah, either... What comes before May? January, February, March, April. Either late April or early May. And I got here and my solar panel broke, the one that I'm trying to give to you.
Oh,
you're welcome. We're gonna try to make sure you can hear Brian today, but Brian does not have the opera singer's voice. He's very soft spoken, a very gentle soul. He's nice. He's everything I'm not. Except tall, but he's even taller than I am, which I'm not that tall. How tall are you?
6'6".
Yeah, that's tall.
6'9" in heels.
All right, we'll leave that one for the imagination. So I got here late April, early May. Was anchored a couple of hours, an hour or so north of here, up near the Lake Worth Inlet, and contacted some friends who lived in Boca. And I was like, where do you live? Oh, don't you live in Florida? And they said, we live in Boca. And I said, that's awesome. Where's Boca? And we looked at the map and figured it out. And I said, you should come up and visit. And we tried to figure out where that would happen. And through looking through my charts and Active Captain, I came to learn that West Palm Beach had 3, according to the internet, but it actually only has 2, big, free public docks. Excuse me. So I motored down, tied off to a public dock. My friends came up, hung out, yada yada. But I'm tied off to the South Dock for a day or so. And while I'm there, I have this rope hammock swing, which I bought from some poor beleaguered gentleman on the beach in Mexico who tried to sell it to me every day for a week. But, like, he wanted $17 for it. I wasn't going to spend more than $12. You know those things?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Sure.
So, yeah, I got it. I got it for $12.
Wow.
And then I had to pay $25 to check it on the airplane to get it home. Wow. But we don't tell people that. We just tell people it costs $12.
Yes.
So I like to hang my hammock chair from my staysail halyard, and I drift around the front of the boat and sit there and read or drink or just people watch. And I was hanging in the chair on the front of my boat, reading or having a glass of wine or all of the above. And this other boat, this big boat with some puffy black clouds coming out of the engine exhaust, came puttering around me and tied off to the dock. And the decks were just covered with fenders, battery chargers, bicycles, dinghies, like three dinghies, motors, outboard motors in every state of repair or disrepair. I wish you could see the look on Brian's face right now because he bought this boat.
It's like Fred Sanford.
Yes, boat. Thank you. I always said that the boat was like Fred Sanford's garage, without a doubt. And I was just sitting there in my chair reading. This boat came up and it tied off at the dock and there's like 12 people on the boat, but it doesn't look like the party boat because...
Yeah.
Usually when the boat with 12 people comes on, it's like that catamaran that's down at the end right now. It's got all the signal flags up, maybe some LEDs flickering.
Very and festive.
It's festive, and it's got whatever music might be playing depending on how old they are.
Justin Bieber.
No, we're going to send you back to St. Petersburg.
Oh, okay.
But this boat, just everything felt not quite in place, and it was very interesting to me, and I noticed it. So I'm sitting there reading my book, and people are coming and going, progressively fewer people as the boat sat there. But there was this woman who kept carrying, really, really laboriously carrying trash bags up to the end of the dock. And after two trips or so, she loaded some more out of the boat onto the dock, and I looked at her from my little perch.
Your happy place.
From my happy place. I'm always in my happy place. And I looked at her and I said, "Do you need help?" And she said, "No, I think I can get it." And I said, "I'm sure you can get it, but would you like help?" And she kind of stopped and looked at me and she said, "Yeah, I think I would really like some help. That would be awesome." So I climbed down from my boat and went and grabbed a couple of bags and we're walking up. And I don't remember really if she just volunteered all this information or if I was asking questions. I don't tend to pry a lot. It's kind of like, if you want help carrying the bags, I'll help you carry the bags. But I'm sure I at least planted a seed to get the conversation moving forward because I was really curious who this mass mix, wide swath of people were and what they were doing on the boat. And I'm sure I prodded somehow. And I came to learn the boat belonged to this woman, Tiffany, to her father, Richard, and that he had just died, I don't know, 2 or 3 days prior from skin cancer, I believe. And she had come down to clean up his boat and deal with his possessions.
Wow.
And that's what started all of that. So I helped her carry trash up to her car, a Volvo, which was parked in the public parking lot, and we threw it all in the back, and she said, "I have no idea where I'm going to take this." And I said, "Yeah, it makes sense. I don't know where you're going to take it either. I'm not from here. Don't ask me anything. I got here yesterday." It might literally even have been the day I got here. I really am not 100% sure. I feel like it was. Yeah, it was. Never would have spent the night tied to the dock if they hadn't told me too, because if I can leap forward, because of course my stories can never be sequential, at the end of that day I was like, "Okay, good luck, I'm gonna go anchor," and they're all like, "And we're leaving this boat on the dock, maybe you should stay on the dock and watch it." And I said, "The sign says I can't be on the dock from midnight till 5 a.m and they're like, "Yeah, nobody enforces that. We're leaving the boat. You should leave your boat here tied right behind our boat so you can watch it and make sure nobody messes with it," which is like, I'm very cavalier in certain regards.
Right.
and very not cavalier in other regards. Really simple rules like traffic light colors,
yeah.
turn signals, don't park on the dock from midnight to 5 a.m. Yeah. I tend to really follow.
I'm a rule follower.
I like to break certain rules, but we'll leave that for another day for my IRS podcast. But so she was around. That was definitely my first day. She came back up later and had all this stuff on the boat, and she asked me to come look at. She's like, "You look like a reader. Do you like to read?" My dad had so many books, and I came on the boat, and there was just scores of books, only two of which I had any. If you're really into those, you know, those suspense novels. And not
tax code? Was there the tax code books?
I don't know. No tax code books.
Oh, okay.
And if there were, they probably would have spontaneously combusted in my hand anyway. But I grabbed Don Quixote.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know, some mundane looking spy novel that I said, you know, maybe sometime I'll just need the equivalent of bad television to entertain me. Yeah. And that spy novel would be that. So I grabbed a couple. That's how Tiffany and I got hooked up. So fast forwarding, which I never do very fastly.
No.
Oh, thank you. Brian's learned this. How long have I known you?
2 weeks. 2 weeks?
No.
It's been like four.
Ridiculous with your 2 weeks. Have you been drinking?
A little.
Okay. Brian and I have known each other exactly since the first day we met. And Brian is the person who has started the process of purchasing Capricious. Backing up a baby step, Tiffany, daughter of deceased Richard Boat Owner Man, had the boat. The boat was anchored. Richard's friends took it out to anchor, anchored it, and then this one sailed off there, and the other one sailed off there, and this one went to the Bahamas. And Tiffany went home to North Carolina and kind of said, "What in the bloody hell am I supposed to do with this boat?" And she was trying to get people to help her, and I think she was having a rough time. And she may have made the mistake of asking me what I thought she should do. And shockingly, I had opinions.
What?
I know. And
it's not like you.
I know. It's very not like me. So I said, clean the boat up. Get all that crap off the decks. Clean it up below decks. Stow everything. Get rid of the stuff that's trash. List it on Craigslist. Fire sale price. Sell the damn boat before it crashes into somebody else's boat, and then you have a boat and a lawsuit.
Right.
Which is a lot worse than having just a boat.
Truly.
Yeah. And,
that's great advice. Wow.
What, clean it up and sell it?
You must be a father.
Yeah, thanks. And it takes one to know one. So we cleaned up the boat, and by we, I mean I. I would row over every day, and I would not climb onto the boat before I talked to Richard. I never met Richard. He died right before I got here.
Oh, okay.
I never even saw a photo of Richard. Tiffany, are you listening? Never even got a photo of him until Brian here sent me an older photo of him that Tiffany had sent to him. So, but where were we?
I don't know. But he seemed like a very nice man.
He did seem like a very nice man. The boat was in absolute disarray.
You know, it was definitely lived in and loved. By a lot of the things placed, you know, paper towels right next to the oil funnel.
Right.
I mean,
that's a good point.
Just these little cues,
right.
that there was care.
Right.
Like, and I was telling Tiffany, I was like, you know, there was electrical things that would be in a place near other things that I was like, man, you know. That's exactly where I would put them.
That's awesome.
You know,
and it does that says a lot because Richard not only lived on the boat, and there are people who live on boats akin to living on maybe an old school bus behind someone's house.
Right.
And I'm going to do this again now two episodes in a row. I don't know if you can hear the train whistle in the background or not. But this...
Are we on the hard next to the train tracks?
We are not on the hard. Sometimes life is hard, but the boat is actually floating in water, swinging at anchor, which we will talk about later, But we're not far from land, and those trains are that train's always going by, and the whistles are blowing.
In an amazing place. I mean, we are downtown West Palm Beach, yeah. Where it's Bentleys and limos and
those
life
poor people with money.
Poor people
with money.
With money.
Well, I think they're poor people, but who knows? Maybe I'm just bitter.
They don't have a boat, a sailboat.
Many of them probably do have boats, and I bet you most of those boats are on lifts, you know, on boat lifts and not in the water, and they're very, very concerned about their boats getting dirty. Did your boat get dirty today?
Yes.
Yes, it did, we're going to talk about that, too. So, Tiffany agreed to let me come clean up the boat, and I cleaned up the boat, and I took some pictures and sent them to Tiffany, and Tiffany put the boat on Craigslist. And listed it for sale.
And sailboat listings.
And sailboat listings.
I love that site.
I've never really been through sailboat listings. This is Postcards from Sea. I'm John Herlig, and I am sitting in West Palm Beach this week with my friend Brian, talking about his boat, Capricious, who probably won't stay Capricious, but that story also will come later. So, Brian found the listing for the boat where?
It was Craigslist.
What caught your eye?
I guess it would be price.
So quick, I'm going to interrupt. Pearson. Were you looking for Pearson? Was Pearson on a list of boats you were willing to look at? Or you were just looking at, find me all boats below $25,000?
No, actually. I live aboard a 32 Bristol, a Ted Hood Bristol, which I absolutely love. And thought I would never have any other boat but a Bristol. But I know that Pearson is my close second, and there is, I believe there's some bloodlines that run through Pearson and Bristol.
Might well be, I couldn't tell you.
But I love Bristol, I love Pearson as well.
Okay.
And
so, there was, you were looking for a bigger boat, that's what started this for you.
A bigger boat, yes.
You have two kids.
I've got two kids, 8 and 9.
Right.
I'm a mentor for a group called SailFuture.org, where we take kids that are at risk, high schoolers,
mm-hmm.
that have a GPA of 0.5 to 1.5 in their junior year.
Okay.
And we teach them sailing. Well, we tutor and then teach sailing.
Okay.
And so we give...
I told you guys he's a better person than I am.
Well...
I meant it. Anyway, keep going.
We not to plug, you know, obviously...
No, plug, please.
I love to plug sailfuture.org. They are.
You can plug any organization that does good things that you want.
They truly love kids and sailing and
nice.
And at the end of the year, we have a trip, and this boat would give me the opportunity to have more kids on board.
Gotcha.
As well as just the need of my own kids getting bigger,
as well as your kids having berths they can sleep in that
yes.
aren't smaller than them, maybe a place where they can leave the pillow and the blanket during the day and not have to unmake their bed because it's also where you sit to eat breakfast.
And I'm 6'6".
Right. You mentioned that. You don't need to keep driving that point home. I'm kidding.
The salon settee is it's like 7 feet.
Yeah. I measure awesome. Everything on my boat by how much just slightly less tall than me it is.
Oh.
If I'm 6'2", and people say, what's the headroom in your boat? I say, I'm 6'2", I'd say the headroom's about 6'1.5".
Right.
You know, just... and they'll say, well, you know, do you have an aft quarter berth? Any good place to sleep if you're out in the ocean? I say, sure, I do. I've got a quarter berth. It's got a lee board. It's great. If I'm 6'2", it's 6'1 and 15/16". So, like, if I curl my toes back, I fit perfectly, but the top of my head hits one end, the bottom of my feet hit the other end.
Very, very similarly to maybe solitary confinement box, where you know it's just not long enough to
and
to
it's
stretch
not
out.
It's not in the sunshine and made of sheet metal or whatever it may be. The quarter berth less torturous than the solitary confinement box.
Yeah, yeah.
But as far as measuring it by it being about one of you long, yeah, I get where you're coming from. You on the Bristol. With the two kids, and the kids are getting bigger.
It's
a thing. So you're looking for a bigger boat.
Yes.
And Pearson's on the list of boats that you think you'll like. You like Bristol's. Maybe they share some heritage. Maybe they don't. This happens to me, too. Am I related to you? Where am I related to you? Okay. And then we figure it out. So maybe your boat, your old boat and your new boat can, like, log on to Ancestry.com and figure that out.
Hopefully
so you're looking for a bigger boat, going through sailboat listings, Craigslist,
yes.
And you see, A, this is a Pearson. I like Pearsons.
Yep.
B, why is this so much cheaper than all the other Pearsons? Is that what your brain says?
Yeah, and you know, some of the photography, you know, I've been looking at lots of boats.
Right.
And you know, when people are selling a boat that know how to sell boats,
yeah.
There are certain things they're taking pictures of.
Sure.
And this one clearly didn't have those cues there.
Yes.
And so I thought,
This is strange.
There might be opportunities. They may not know.
So it was the lack of the... Here's my boat with all the sails up, underway.
Or the listing of, yeah, sail inventory,
yeah.
And battery,
yeah.
Amp hours.
Mm-hmm.
This one was lots of various lines available.
Yeah. Yes. Because that was my list that I texted to Tiffany.
Did you? Oh, I'm sorry.
No. I was like, A... I wasn't writing an ad. I was just sending her a list of things that were on the boat. She sent it off to this other guy who just listed everything that I sent her. And I sent her photos as I was cleaning the boat, which took me a week. 7 days. I would row over in the morning after breakfast in the heat, hot as sin. Work all day,
yeah.
Row back home, hit the sack, come back, do it again. 7 days. I took, with the help of my friend Elizabeth, 20 or 30 big, like, lawn and leaf garbage bags of trash off of the boat.
Okay.
After Tiffany said, well, we took all the trash off the boat. I said,
no,
you took off a lot of stuff that might have been trash, but you didn't take all the trash off the boat.
Right.
Those little solar lights. So non-boat people, I'll say this. We boaters frequently go to Home Depot or Walmart or wherever it is and buy those little $3.95 solar lights, the ones that you plunk in the grass next to your sidewalk. They charge all day, they glow all night, make you look like you're rich, you have landscaping lights. We like to buy those because they're cheap, and we strap them onto the stern of the boat. You've got them on Capricious. Do you have them on your current boat?
No.
But
I'm in a marina.
You're in a marina. You haven't crossed that invisible line into cruiser yet.
No.
So we vagabonds like to strap these to the back of our boats because they're dirt cheap. They work virtually forever. You put a rechargeable battery in it. The thing's good for a year. And if something goes wrong and it happens to go over the side in a hurricane, it's $3.95. You go to Walmart, you buy another one.
That's awesome.
So Richard had two or three of these on the stern of his boat. I have one on the back of Ave. My friends Chip and Tammy had the one on the back of their Island Pack. Everyone I know who cruises has one of these things on the back of their boat. Richard, on Capricious, had three up on the stern rail on the back of his boat, and without exaggeration, no less than 15 to 18, or maybe, I want to say more, of these lights down inside his boat in various states of disrepair and disassembly. He would have the solar panel from one, and a little LED bulb from another one, and the charging part from another one, or ones that were complete but didn't work. And that would be a great example of the sort of thing that this boat was full of. He was clearly both a tinkerer.
Yeah.
It's hard, I think, to be a cruiser and not be a bit of a tinkerer.
Yeah.
If you're a tinkerer and you're a little bit of a hoarder, it can kind of turn your boat into Fred Sanford's garage.
Sure.
Which is where we got. So, hence all the bags of trash that Tiffany didn't know were here.
Yeah.
Because I would pick these up and say to myself, I don't need to ask this woman in North Carolina for permission to throw out a dozen and a half disassembled, non-functioning $4 solar lights.
Right.
And we filled up bags and bags and bags of those. So I'm rowing over every day. I'm talking to Richard. I would row over, say good morning, Capricious. Good morning to Richard. Say, Richard, I'm coming aboard your boat. I'm going to come clean it up. We want to sell it. I don't want your boat to sink. I don't want your boat to sit here and just get washed up onto the rocks and be another sad story. I sincerely doubt Richard can hear me, but I did that every day and would talk to him. Come on board and clean. Got this done. Sent Tiffany my pictures and my lists, and she listed the boat. And it was a damned long time before we finally got to the point where someone was answering it. Because in summer in South Florida, everybody just leaves.
Yeah.
And the people who are here kind of do, all you do is wake up and go, God, it's hot. Yeah. Is it sunset yet? Nobody really does anything.
Yeah.
During the sun, I sure as hell didn't. I was telling somebody recently that I remember I was too hot to read.
Yeah.
I would just wake up and sit under the fan and go, ugh, what am I supposed to do?
It's 6:30 or 7 o'clock and it's already 82 degrees.
Yeah, if not pushing 90. And you wake up and you're not even sleeping under a sheet. And when you wake up, you're sweating. Yeah, so a lot of that. But the boat did get listed.
Yeah.
And did get responses. Nobody started responding to the ad until I was too busy to actually help. But I had promised Tiffany, I said, if you get people who are interested, I will row them out to the boat so they can look at the boat.
Yeah.
And I was working down in Lantana on my friend's boat for the longest time. And she was just emailing me names and phone numbers of people that I wasn't calling back because I was too busy and I kept forgetting. And finally, one day, we took a day off and came up to do laundry, and I sat there with my iPhone and went through all my emails and just started calling people. And Brian was one of those people that I called, and that's where that all started.
Wow. Had no idea.
This is Postcards from Sea. I'm John Hertlich, and we're sitting in West Palm Beach on Capricious, Brian's 40-foot Pearson flush deck boat. And today, Brian and I re-anchored the boat. Not very gracefully.
No.
So, Capricious's engine, which is a Perkins, we know it will run, but it's not running right now, which we're not here to talk about. Capricious had one bad bent anchor, which wasn't serving her very well this last summer. And then one day, Capricious decided to drag that anchor because she wanted to snuggle up to a little Catalina that was anchored near her.
Aww.
I know, everyone loves some company. So I woke up and looked down and saw that Capricious and the Catalina were snuggling, and they're not supposed to snuggle. We have a strict no-contact policy in this basin. So I rode down and had a very bad, rather crankiness-inducing day of trying to separate Capricious with her conjoined sister spirit of Laura Lee, and I had to cut the other boat's anchor road off and deploy their secondary and get this cranky German guy in his underwear to come over with his dinghy and tow Capricious over so I could re-anchor her. It was a whole thing.
Wow.
If you look up thing, this was a thing. It's right in the dictionary. That's what you're going to see. Me and the cranky German guy in his underwear motoring Capricious to safety. And I sent Tiffany, I think, a rather curt text telling her that her crappy old anchor still was no good. And that if she wanted to not start paying for other people's boats, that she needed to do something about it. So Tiffany very quickly and very graciously contacted me, bought a new anchor, chain, and 3-strand nylon road from West Marine, and somehow bribed me to convince my friend Chris to drive me up to West Marine, and we went and picked it up, came down, and threw a stern anchor off. So, picture the boat, if it's sort of oblong like a football, typically there's an anchor coming off the front, so it comes right off the point on the front of the boat, just like the football. And you kind of swing with that. We're in an area which is tidal. So, you know, tides, what, every 6.5 hours or whatever. So on a flood tide, all the water from the ocean is rushing in Lake Worth Inlet. So all the boats are pulling towards the south. Our bows will be pointed to the north. And then after high tide, when the water starts rushing back out to the ocean, we all swing 180 degrees the other way, which is fine if your anchor holds, not so fine if your anchor doesn't hold, and that's what was happening to Capricious. So we had the bad anchor off the front, and we threw the new anchor off the stern and kind of had the boat, and it stopped swinging. So it, instead of hanging from the front point both ways, would hang from the front point in one direction and then hang from the back of the boat on the opposing tide, which isn't as natural a position for the boat, but it stopped it from swinging into other boats. But the bad anchor still dragged. Mm-hmm. And poor Brian bought the boat, or is in the process of buying the boat, and wanted to straighten out the anchors, because what he's got is not a very ideal situation, especially for a storm.
Yeah.
And he wanted the good anchor off the bow, the front of the boat, where it should be. So he was smart enough yesterday to ask me,
yeah,
if I'd be willing to help.
Sucker.
And I came over today and we did it.
Yeah.
And how did that go?
I was I'm very grateful. And I think it went well. We tried to pull up the newer anchor, the stern anchor.
Yes.
But realized that the dinghy, it was pretty set.
It was set. Very, very set.
Very set.
And also, before we even did that, Brian got to don the snorkel mask.
Oh, right.
And jump off the side of Capricious.
Yes.
To free the road.
Right.
The rope, which is that line, we call it road, that holds the anchor and ties it to the boat, which was wrapped around the rudder of the boat. So
yep.
Brian got to don my rowing gloves and his snorkeling mask, and dove down under the boat, got the line unwrapped from the rudder, so we actually had an anchor that wasn't tangled up anymore.
I will say this is the first time I've donned probably a mask that reminded me of Jacques Cousteau. it may be of that era.
Okay, it might have. Knowing Richard.
It was round.
Yes, I have one of those.
It was actually pretty cool.
Yeah. You just needed a little red beanie.
Jacques
Cousteau or Steve Zissel. Is that, what's the Life Aquatic, that movie, which I finally just watched. Thanks, Jessica, for making me watch that movie. Bill Murray, very funny movie. Uh-huh. Where Bill Murray, funny movie, that's redundant, isn't it?
No.
No?
Bill Murray.
I said Bill Murray and funny movie is redundant. It means the same thing.
Oh,
when you
say
Bill Murray, you already know it's funny.
Sorry. I was like Jumbo Shrimp.
No. No,
that's another thing.
That's oxymoron. That's different than redundant. So, very good movie. Okay, so, Brian dove, freed the anchor. I rode out to pull the anchor up.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. The anchor was very well set.
Yes. Which is hard to do in a dinghy. You don't have the leverage,
right,
or the weight.
Yes, you've got
like
absolutely
boat,
nothing.
Like a real boat.
Helping you pull it up. So we decided to leave it.
Mm-hmm.
We tightened up the line a little bit, and then we decided we were going to pull the old anchor.
Yes.
Either way, that's what was going to happen. We were going to move the new anchor until we realized how well set it was, and we said, as dug in as that is, I think we should decide it's in the perfect place.
Considering we have no engine to set the anchor.
So we couldn't drag the new anchor and set it, which is what you set the anchor and then you kind of put the boat in reverse. And as you pull back, it's pulling the anchor in. And if you don't move, life is good. And you know you've kind of dug the anchor in.
We couldn't
do that because the engine isn't currently working or isn't working yet.
Well, yeah.
So, and meanwhile, the inside of my dinghy was white when I got here. And what color is it now?
It is mocha.
I'd say mocha is a very good word for that. When you lift up the rope, the line, the road, which is down in this murky water, the stuff that's been down in the water forever is just greenish, brown. It's mocha.
It is.
And you pull it up because you're trying to get the anchor, and just as every time you touch the rope, this stuff just dissolves off the rope into your dinghy, under your fingernails,
just
into
like
your mouth. It's like a big seaweed salad.
Soup.
Yeah.
Soupy.
Yeah. So my dinghy's a little tan today. She looks like she got a spray tan. But we got the road free on the old one, and
yeah,
then we hoisted the old anchor up onto the boat with the windlass.
Yes.
Which is, what brand of windlass do you have?
This is a Sea Tiger 555.
Oh, you got it. I only asked because I thought you wouldn't remember. Sea Tiger 555. You're correct. High five.
Thank you.
There we go. And we hoisted the old anchor up. And Capricious went, like that.
And now I have air coming in through my hatches.
Now there's air coming in through the hatches.
Because I'm pointed into the wind.
Yes, because when the wind's up, the bow of the boat will point towards it and fall off, and air will come in the hatches, and the boat will be cool, just like you.
Aww.
And Richard's happy because his boat was kind of tethered before, you know, like when they strap you down on a gurney or something. It wasn't a good kind of tethering.
Right. Or
it was kind of the, like, you're not behaving well. I'm going to tie you here until you're, like, duct taping your kid to a chair kind of thing.
Or like electric chair.
Electric chair. Yeah. Yeah. One flew over the cuckoo's nest. Yeah. Like, yeah, lobotomy time. Although we're not giving Capricious a lobotomy.
No.
No, not at all. And so Brian is midway through the process of purchasing Capricious. Which is going to go, it's as good as done. We just have to wait for the lawyers to finish their part.
Yep.
I was, the day I called you from the laundromat, I texted Tiffany after I talked to you. And I believe I said, and I quote, "This is your guy." After that first conversation. I know. And I called like 12 people that day.
Really?
Yeah. I said, "This is your guy."
Now, how did you know?
Because you asked all the right questions.
Yeah.
You weren't intimidated. You know, like, you know, when's the last time the oil was changed? Like, did you read the... Do you really think anybody knows?
No.
Do you want me to call Richard? I don't think he has a phone. Anyone who was looking at that ad and asking those questions, when's the last time the bottom was cleaned, clearly just didn't understand what was happening and was not going to be the right person.
Right.
And I think I told you early on, you were the right kind of crazy for this boat. I told the people that I bought Ave Del Mar from that I was the right kind of crazy to buy that boat. And I feel like I had to sell them on me in the beginning. And I kept telling them, I'm like, you're not going to find another me. And that's not because I'm smart or I know how to sell. I don't know a damn thing about boats.
Right.
But I know I'm the right crazy guy for this boat, and you need to find a way to sell it to me because this is what's supposed to happen. And none of us on my transaction, I think, ever changed our minds about that. And I felt the same thing about you with this. And I think you feel an important sort of homage to Richard. You know, it's okay to change the boat. It's okay to do whatever you need to do to make the boat right for you. But you can do all that with an essence of wanting to do right by Richard, who might not have done what you're going to do, but his spirit can love that you're doing all these things with the notion of how he wanted to live on the boat, where he wanted the boat to go, how he wanted the boat to function.
Yeah. You know what I found is that we don't own boats. The boats own us. And we are truly their caretakers. And it may be just for a couple years, it may be for decades, but it was time for me to take care of
to become Capricious. The caretaker of Capricious.
Yeah. And whether Capricious still remains to be Capricious, I don't know, but the boat will live on forever, and I am its caretaker for this season of my life.
You might sort of be its savior, too. I don't know
maybe,
if you know that.
Maybe, sometimes.
Maybe it would be awkward for you to say that about yourself, but someone had to come in and go, okay, yeah, no, I know it won't start. That's okay. You know, I know there's oil in the bilge. That's fine. I can fix that.
Yeah.
What about this? What about this? What about this?
Right.
Excellent. Yeah. Let's do the deal. And that was you.
Yeah. Well, I heard somebody say that they had a wooden sailboat, and they're like, well, it'll never die as long as you keep replacing the parts. It's true.
That is true.
I mean, nothing is replaceable. I mean, nothing is not replaceable.
Nothing everything, is irreplaceable.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Well, it's just...
I'm still learning English.
It's okay. You're from Florida, right?
Yeah, I am.
Apologies, Florida listeners. I didn't mean that.
No.
But we who live on boats, if you can't laugh at yourself, you're going to have a rough time of it, I think.
Yeah,
so,
you have to live.
Brian and I certainly can do that. So Capricious is awesome and clean. Headliner's still sparkly clean. I bleached the whole thing because it was covered in mold when I got in here. And the trash is gone and the floor is beautiful and the table is beautiful. And there's life and stuff and fenders and tools and batteries and chargers and generators and the lights work.
Lights work.
And the SSB turns on, although I'm not sure you have anything going from your tuner to the backstay, but we'll figure that out.
Okay.
Which means after I sail off, you can call me.
Awesome. Actually, that would be great.
Yeah, it will be.
Actually,
absolutely
that would be the
best.
Only reason why I want to speak.
All right, either that or you can sell it and be like, Scrooge on.
Can I listen to this show?
I get, yes. Well, no, you don't need SSB to listen to the show. You just need internet.
Oh, really?
But radio.tv.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we record it onto my tape deck?
Yes, like we'll record tape. It. We'll dub it onto a cassette tape for you.
Do they still make those?
Yes. All right, Brian's rambling, and the show has run long again. I think we're just going to have to stop calling it a half-hour show. We're going to start calling it a 42-minute show, because that's what I think it's going to be. And we are wrapping up from West Palm Beach. Thank you, Brian, for joining me.
Thank you.
It has been awesome becoming your friend and participating in Capricious, kind of coming out of her... You know, when you hire someone, what's that, you know, you, damn it, we suck at words.
I know, words are hard.
Probation. Capricious coming out of her probationary period, well, if you will, and being allowed to be a real boat again.
I think you are very important in stepping in the gap between, you know, someone that doesn't know anything about boats and someone that wants to buy a boat.
Yeah.
And,
that's how I saw my role.
Yeah.
When I did it, because what bad can possibly come from doing something good for the universe?
I agree.
And that's why I did it. So, with that, we will wrap for this show. Again, thank you to Brian. Thank you to Boat Radio and Mike McDowell for hosting the show. I've had some questions come to me. The theme song from my show is by a group called The Imperfection. And if you go to Abid Amar's Facebook page and click on the About button, there is a link down there that'll take you to one of their songs. That song is called Welcome to Neverland. And that's got to be the essence of sailing. They're from Prague, and I kind of love them. Neo-funk band, rock band. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in and for being awesome. I love you all. And as always, thank you for being such an important part of life and the fabric of humanity that makes this ride worth taking. I'll be back in 2 weeks with another show, and we'll talk to you then. Our aim at Street Invest is to put a trustworthy adult into the lives of street children so that they can support them in creating the most positive paths for their lives in the future. We work around the world, working on the street with the children where they are. For such a large group of children, the amount of funding available is tiny. Really, the funding that keeps organisations like Street Invest going comes from individual donors. Street children are the most abused, neglected, violated children, yet they are also the most resourceful, responsive, and resilient children that we could have the honour of working with.
For more information or to make a donation, visit streetinvest.org.
Just one more day. Time to be true to yourself, yeah.